This is Eyes Fixed on the Sun, a Star Wars Legends Knights of the Old Republic video games fanfic, written by Nimja and read by Rena Jenkins. The story is rated PG-13 and is Jen, with implied Exile Malak and implied Exile Malak Revan, with additional tags for pre-canon, Mandalorian Wars, violence, implied character death. Summary. The parts of the lightsaber line up perfectly. The memories that accompany them do not. There's a comfort to the garage aboard the Ebon Hawk. A focus on the mundaner things that gives the Exile some peace as she listens to Beodor weld Durasteel plates together with a plasma torch, his remote hovering and cooling behind him. The workbench lies in front of her, her lightsaber lying there in all its deconstructed glory as she performs some routine maintenance. Heavily unneeded maintenance, but Beodor doesn't make a comment, just like the Exile doesn't say out loud that those particular plates had already been re-welded by her tech shortly after they had left Nur Shaddaa. From the Hutt city planet, it had only been a short burst to Dantooine. And now, as they left the planet that held what had once been the great Jedi Enclave, what had once been her home, the Exile had excused herself from meditation with Michael in order to perform routine maintenance on her lightsaber. The parts line up neatly. It's rare, really, for lightsaber components to fit so cleanly. But Beodor knew his way around weapons of war, and the instructions had been custom and simple. A focusing lens. It's easier if you bend your knees slightly, widens your stance, and presents a more grounded center of balance. Mitra had frozen mid-form, turning to the sound of the voice that she had heard a few times around the Enclave, but had never really heard directed at her. A pair of Padawans, a few years above her in training, lean against the rock outcroppings in the middle of the field. And any youngling in the Enclave would recognize the topmost pupils of Master Vandar. Revan says nothing. A small smirk on her face as she tosses an apple into the air, catches it, and takes a crisp bite. Alec, however, takes a step forward. Ataru is simple. You're overthinking. He grabs his lightsaber, a bright blue emitting with a hiss as he mimics the steps Mitra had been attempting earlier, far more gracefully and skillfully. Disappointment floods her. She had been out here for about 4 standard hours, and there had been next to no improvement. Follow me, the prodigy student instructs, moving through Ataru again. Mitra swallows, takes a breath, and matches his footing, green and blue dancing around each other as Revan sits to the side, eating the apple thoughtfully. The Exile takes a cloth and wipes away some of the grime. It gets foggy from overuse. As soon as she is satisfied that it is clean enough, she places it inside the hilt and moves to the fencing emitter. Her whole body aches as Alec disengages the lightsaber, a smile on his face as he steps off of her defeated body and offers Mitra a hand to pull her up. She groans, but takes it. You've improved. She gives a humble smile, thankful enough for the compliment that she doesn't plan on refuting it. Revan would disagree. Something sad flitters through her friend's eyes before a smile overtakes it. Revan would disagree about many things. Mitra sits up, taking a towel and wiping away the sweat from the spar.
So, the rumors are true then?
Alex sits next to her, slowly releasing his hand from hers.
We are leaving before the next sun cycle.
He stares at her.
A Jedi can't stand aside when life is in danger. You know that.
She's hesitant, slightly.
The Council is afraid. And you?
Alec throws the towel on the ground and stands.
Revan needs me.
He stares down at her.
She needs us both.
She stands next to him.
What about you, Alec? I can't afford to be afraid.
It's a long silence. It's a silence that Mitra wonders on her friend, on Revan, who is a friend as well, but one that is not as flawed, not as cowardly as Mitra feels in that moment. It's a very long silence. But Alec waits.
I will do what's right. For the galaxy. She whispers.
Alec turns to her, opening his mouth as if to say something, before they are interrupted by Revan arriving.
She stares at them both and gives a determined smile. We leave in 2 days.
Nothing of note needs to be fixed with the fencing emitter, but the exile tightens up its calibrations anyway, before moving on to the vibration cell.
War is something that comes to the general with surprising ease.
She leaves Mitra Surik behind as soon as the rank replaces it. And it's for the best, because a part of her is convinced that Mitra would not survive this fight. And she notices that she is not the only one changing in order to make it through until the very end. Revan starts wearing a mask. Alec hasn't worn Jedi robes in months. They are growing too big, too strong for those. And for a while, the general entertained the hope of all of them making it through this, even though they have fractured. But it turns out they are not strong enough.
Not as strong as they need to be, as vibroblades and blasters cut through their troops, kill their friends. An ambush. The general is cutting in kind, her cyan blade sputtering and hissing as it makes little work of those who would threaten peace. Mitra!
She remembers hearing the cry. It's the only thing that stops her dance. And she goes very, very still when she hears whose voice it is that is crying out in a panic. Revan is kneeling on the ground, one hand outstretched and shoving Mandalorians away from her and the corpse that her other hand is cradling under the back of the head on her lap.
The general sees red. The soles of his boots. The blood on the ground. The armor she shreds as she fights her way to Revan's side. Save him, Revan commands, as if it is in Mitra's power to defy death, as if the general can do the impossible. Mitra doesn't need to ask who it is. The three of them have bonded over the course of the war. There's only one person that could get Revan's eyes to tear. But there is no way to recognize Alec on the ground. There's no way to see her dear friend's face when it's coated in blood. When half of it is lying 3 feet away on the ground.
Alec's jaw soon receives company as the bodies fall, the ones Revan is tearing through in her rage and her terrible grief. The general can't cry as she tries to heal him, as she tries to bring him back from the brink. As she tries not to see that it's a lightsaber wound. He had kissed her on the forehead before they left. All that's left is the crystal, and the exile stares at it for a long time. It's flawed, not as nice as the one in her original lightsaber, and as fickle as it is, the color isn't right. Crimson flickers back in the light cast by Baodur's torch, and the exile holds it simply in the palm of her hand. It's almost weightless. Her fingers close around it, one by one, until she no longer sees its imperfections or hue, hands moving to systematically place the crystal into her hilt. Her return to the known galaxy is marked with news. For a long while, there isn't a day that goes by where she doesn't discover the fates of her comrades. She doesn't read a holodeck entry and see a memoriam for someone she had fought beside. Darth Malak had been slain. Revan had departed to battle the true Sith. The prodigal knight returns a hero. She can't feel anything but numb as she hears news. The part of her that had formed attachments, that loved, has been closed and emptied. An ideal Jedi. The exile has her first drink and wonders if anyone knew that Revan used to climb dangerously high trees to get apples. If Malak was once a student kind enough to help a mediocre youngling through her Ataru forms. The exile has her second drink and wonders if there is anyone left who would care to know. Her third drink is for Revan. Her fourth and fifth are for Alec. Her sixth is her last, and it's for a little girl named Mitra. The red light encompasses the garage, and Baodur turns at hearing the familiar snap hiss, a questioning look on his face as he sees the vermilion blade. General? The exile gives a sad smile. I'll get a new crystal once we land on Korriban. The Iridonian stares, but knowingly nods and turns back to his already complete work. The end. Reader's notes. Okay, this story is less than 1,500 words. I have read it like 8 times. And just that one little section with all the implications of the battle scene where Alec loses his jaw and the implication that Revan did it but was doing it with the sort of, okay, I can blame it on the fact that I'm fighting the Mandalorians rather than the straight up, you disrespected me and that's why you lost it. And also the sort of idea that the general can defeat death and how this all ties back to the End of Giants and that idea that, like, Revan is ongoing and Mitra is death and Alec is the only one who can die. Just sort of that, like, the 3 points on the seesaw that's internally, like, shifting to get in balance of the three of them. Oh, it's so good for me. And throw in the fact that Beodor is sort of the other kind of primary pairing with Mitra that shows up a lot in fandom and, you know, also in the actual game. Sort of, so this idea of the name changes that Mitra goes through, Mitra to the general, to the exile, and how that reflects on her own personal, like, vision of herself and how the lightsaber changing through the years and sort of the moving meditation of assembling it and all of that while she's doing that in sync with Beodor. And that one line about, oh, he knows the weapons of war. Hurtful. Malachor 5 called and said that was too soon. But yeah, that one scene, I was like, wait, but Alec doesn't die. Alec doesn't die. What's talking about here? And just going over that scene over and over again about, like, literally clawing him back from death and sort of this idea that if she had let him die, the future would have been different, but she couldn't let him die because at that point in time, they were both so integral to who she was. And this idea that kind of shows up in a lot of Nimja's work that also sort of informs very much on my own personal headcanons of this, that everyone who went through the Mandalorian Wars that left the Jedi Temple together, all the Revanchists, very much had this, you're my buoy, you're my tether, and I'm using you to help elevate me and keep me on, like, the surface, but at the same time, we're all dragging each other down by trying to support each other. This codependence of every time I try to help you, I actually hurt us both, but I can't not try. Oh, it's so good for me, the futility and tragedy of it all. This podfic was originally recorded as part of, as a potential podfic for this awesome ladies podfic anthology collection for 2020. I'm not sure if I'm going to post it for that or post it separately. If you're hearing me continue to talk, then I did not contribute it to the Awesome Ladies Podfic Anthology because these notes would not be attached to it. Yeah. This story has just been stuck in the back of my head for, like, several days now. And look, I know this is a fandom from 2003. But fuck, these characters just get inside my heart and my head and hook it and just claw their way into my soul or something. That's the dark side for you, I guess. Anyway, thank you to Nimja for having blanket permission to Podfic. Thank you for listening. Hope you enjoyed it. Have a nice day.